Waves FM. My name is Eric Francis, the host of Planet Waves FM, reporting in with our first interview from the United Astrology Conference in New Orleans, Louisiana. Welcome. Welcome to Planet Waves' continuing coverage of the United Astrology Conference. This morning, while I was setting up the table, a gentleman from India came strolling by, I guess asking me where to find something, and I don't think I helped him very much, but I invited him on to Planet Waves FM. So our first interview today is with Ravi Shankar Joshula. He's from Hyderabad. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
In southern India.
Yeah.
And he is a Vedic astrologer who's been practicing for 20 years. So welcome to Planet Waves FM.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
Awesome. Good. So what is it that brought you to UAC, Ravi?
Sorry?
What brings you to the conference?
Yeah, I'm fascinated and having passion for astrology from my childhood. So I thought it would be great if I attend the conference. So I am a free speech lecturer having in this conference on Sunday.
You're presenting in part of the Vedic astrology track.
Yeah, I'm presenting paper on omens.
On omens?
Yeah.
How does that work? What's the basic topic?
Basic topic is about how omens are useful for mankind and predicting natural calamities like earthquakes, cyclones, tsunamis, etc. That is the main topic of the...
And in your astrology practice, do you more of a mundane practice in that kind of global events thing, or do you do more of a personal practice?
No, more I will do on personal practice, and now just recently I entered into mundane astrology.
I'm sorry, say that again, please.
No, recently I got interested into mundane astrology.
Got it.
Yeah.
Which would be the astrology of world events and world developments.
Yeah.
Got it. And how do you become an astrologer in India? Do you feel a calling and then do it, or is there some way that you've got to be chosen to do it?
No, I am being in astrology right from my childhood because since three generations we were doing Vedic astrology, and I am fascinated from my father to learn astrology at very young age. So I started learning and slowly I practice astrology since last 20 years.
Got it. And when were you born?
I'm born in 1966.
Right. And what is it in your chart that indicates your gift for astrology?
Yeah, I have a very powerful sun in the ninth house, which is exalted. And that's the main reason I became an astrologer.
The ninth house is exalted, or do you have it in Leo or Aries?
It is in Aries.
Right. And that's sidereal Aries, of course, right?
Yeah.
Right. And so you only work with the first seven planets as a Vedic astrologer?
No, we take nine planets. The south node and north node is also included in there.
How could we forget the lunar nodes, Rahu and Ketu?
Yeah.
But you don't use the modern discoveries?
No, we don't use that.
Do you feel like you're missing anything for not using the modern discoveries?
No, I don't feel like that.
Do you ever get curious where they might be?
No.
Okay, so you get all the information that you need from seven planets and the lunar nodes.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's a recent case that you've worked on that maybe you could share a little bit about what you learned?
Yeah, on mundane activities recently, I predicted the Cricket World Cup match finals where India won the cup. And I predicted that.
That before. India would win?
Yeah, India
But you
would
were just
win.
Biased. Of course you think India would
no,
win.
No, even from right from the beginning onwards, I predicted it was not biased.
Right. And how did you do that work in the chart? I mean, did you work with the chart for the team or the chart for the country of India?
No, for the chart for the country of India. And the day of the planetary position on that final match which was being held. So I correlated both the chart of India and the planetary position on that day and find it was very strong for India to win the match.
Got it. And in the philosophy that you use, do you believe that... that it's indicated that one country will win over the other, or that there's an element of fate operating, that it's destined to happen?
No, planetary position will definitely have a say in that which country will win. It's predestined.
Right. And let's talk about your presentation from later in the week. You're presenting on Sunday, you said.
Yeah.
And you're going to talk about omens.
Yeah, that is Shakuna Shastra. It is called in Vedic astrology.
Can you say that slowly, please?
Shakuna Shastra.
Shakuna Shastra.
Shakuna literally means a bird. Shastra is a science.
So like augury, almost. We have the word augury, which is divination by birds.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so what's an example of an omen or a sign that you're going to talk about?
Yeah, just to tell you like that, whenever earthquakes or tsunamis will happen, animals behave peculiarly. they sound differently, and that is a sign of omen. So by taking that science of omens and studying them, and because of the clues given in other Vedic sciences, we could be able to predict the outcome of event much in advance.
How do you factor the omens in? For example, I mean, what if you notice, what if you get a phone call from someone in a different city saying that the birds are acting strangely?
Yeah, it only depends upon the constant observation. We will be able to know how birds are different, acting differently. And we can find out something unusual is likely to happen in the near future.
Do you cast astrology for the report of the birds acting strangely? In other words, do you use astrology on top of that?
No, we don't use astrology. Omens is a different science, actually.
And so how do you interpret in a way that you have some dependability, some accuracy?
We are almost coming close to that predicting events much in advance, especially connected to earthquakes. And even in day-to-day activities also, omens are very much useful for human beings.
Can you give another example?
Yeah, suppose when we are going on a journey and suddenly if something negative happens, like a broken mirror or any negative or bad news comes, so all the journey will be disturbed, and it is better to cancel our journey instead of going ahead. Like that, even in certain good omens are also there. Whenever we undertake a journey, suppose a close friend calls and tells some good news, definitely the journey will be successful.
How do you distinguish that from superstition?
Oh, it is not a superstition. This is science, actually. And people nowadays, in modern times, they have written off it as a superstition. But it should be paid with great attention. Omens is a very ancient science. It has reference in ancient Vedic texts like Mahabharata and Ramayana.
Sure. No, I'm not saying that it is superstition. What I'm saying is, how do you tell the difference between a fear or something you think might be an omen versus what actually is? Or does anything count that happens in a certain critical time period?
Yeah, omens may have some psychological effect on human beings, but it can be counterbalanced by doing some remedial measures or taking some appropriate steps. We can overcome the negative influences of planets. It is only a science of science, omens.
Okay, so let's say that you're about to leave on vacation and you get some kind of a negative sign, but you've planned it for a long time and the family's all ready to go. What would you advise that someone do?
Yeah, we need not totally cancel our trip, but we can do some modifications like starting from the house in an auspicious time, and performing some Vedic remedies which can totally nullify the negative omen.
I see. And what is in this philosophy, what's the mechanism of action? Is it relationship to some higher power? Is it?
Yeah, definitely. In God, as a universal power, it spreads into every human being, bird, animal, and he extends and gives some clues the negative effects which are likely to happen in future. So we should be always careful about the omens and try to understand it and minimize the negative effects.
I see. So one thing that is different about Vedic astrology is that there is a spiritual connection that is much stronger, I think, than in most Western astrology.
There's a very strong connection.
Right. And astrology is in the Upanishads. It's very old.
Yeah. Even in Vedas also it is there.
In the Vedas.
Vedas, yeah.
Yes. So it's maybe 5,000 years being referred to.
Yes. It's very old science.
And so how would you describe the spiritual connection of astrology and Vedic as you practice it?
Yeah. Every astrologer should be very spiritually inclined, and he should practice some regular daily pujas or something like that, so that his intuition levels will be strong, and whenever he gives prediction, it will turn right.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, in Western astrology, there is really not that. No one really says that. There's sometimes an assumption that astrologers are more spiritually connected, but there's no requirement. It's not really taught. you won't find that in any of the Western conversations in this conference. It's all going to be about technique and methods and experiences, but there'll be very little in the way of spiritual content, I think.
Yeah, it may be like that. Western astrology may be much advanced and developed, but still, if spirituality is added to that, they will be more successful, I feel, personally.
Right. What do you feel about the way that karma impacts people who practice astrology? Are you responsible for the predictions that you make and for the work that you do? Is it kind of accumulate karma?
Yeah. Yeah, it's purely karma. Depends upon the past, but karma. People get predictions, and sometimes their problems will be solved.
But I'm saying for the astrologer herself or himself, when the person is practicing, is there a karmic responsibility that they have? In other words, if you are bad at what you do and you guide people in the wrong direction, is that sort of on your karma?
Yeah, definitely. It is purely on the astrologer's karma. But we generally don't do like such type of things, and we always guide people for their betterment.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there's the presumption that you're describing that you would be practicing your pujas and be spiritually grounded.
Yeah.
So more working in service.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So what would you recommend to Western astrologers to get more in contact with themselves?
Yeah, they should practice some spiritualism, and they should also do yoga. And at the same time, it is better if they learn a little bit of Vedic astrology.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the lunar nodes in Vedic astrology, Rahu and Ketu.
Yeah,
that's one of the most important things I think that they have in common.
Yeah.
And in the past, maybe 10 or 15 years, people have become more aware of the lunar nodes in Western astrology.
Yes.
So what do the nodes mean in Vedic astrology?
Yeah, they have a lot of important role, like Rahu's placement in certain houses, like the Upachayas. It gives very good results, like 3rd, 6th, and 10th, 11th houses. And in certain other houses, it will destroy it completely. And it is totally malefic planet, even than Saturn.
Rahu.
Rahu.
Not Ketu, Rahu.
Not Ketu, Rahu, yeah.
So both of the nodes are considered malefic in Vedic astrology?
Yeah, both the nodes are considered as a malefic.
Yeah, a Vedic astrologer once explained that to me because here's what he said, Prasannan. He said that the reason they're considered Vedic is because the nodes bind us to the earthly plane. And that the idea of Vedic astrology and in some ways Hinduism is to transcend the earthly plane, but the nodes bound us by dharma and karma, and we're held to our commitments.
Yeah, you are correct, yeah.
And then so as things that hold us to this level, that is why they're considered malefic.
Yes, you are exactly correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, but then you still have to do them, though. We have to take action on the physical plane.
Yes.
We don't have a choice, right? We can't just... I guess you could be like some of those gurus and lay in a cave for 20 years and not eat or drink water.
Yes.
But we have to take action here.
Yeah, we have to take action. But at the same time, we can follow some Vedic principles and help ourselves to have a good life.
Yep. What do you do if your lunar nodes are placed in bad houses?
Yeah, we perform certain remedial measures like wearing Rudrakshas or...
jewels?
Rudraksha.
What's a Rudraksha?
Rudraksha is a bead. It is a bead of seed, actually. And there are different types of Rudrakshas. It is a very powerful remedial measure in Vedic astrology. And I have specialized in that Rudrakshas.
So you basically make a prescription?
Yeah.
And that is in the form of a, for example, it could be a stone.
Yeah,
I wear a stone because
yeah.
My mercury is not so strong.
Yeah.
So a Vedic astrologer suggested that I wear a...
Emerald.
Yeah, it's a...
Emerald or jade.
I can't think of the name. It's a peridot.
Peridot, okay. It's a semi-precious stone for emerald.
Yes.
Yeah, it will be useful for mercury, to strengthen mercury. Like that, Rudrakshas are also very powerful. For Rahu, for example, we suggest Ashtamukhi Rudraksha. That Rudraksha will have 8 faces. Ashtamukhi means 8 faces. So if you wear that Ashtamukhi Rudraksha, definitely Rahu effect will be controlled.
Right. So what is Rahu in the first house?
Rahu in the first house makes a person very active, intelligent, and dynamic, and at the same time he will be very diplomatic.
I see. And so Ketu is in the seventh house. Is that the diplomatic piece, a lot of experience in the seventh house?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. And does the sign matter more than the house placement of, or is the house placement more important than the sign placement?
No, both are important as per my knowledge.
Right. And then do you look at the ruling planet of the nodes also? Do you look at the condition? Let's say the node is in Aries. Do you look at the condition of Mars to assess the one of the nodes?
Yes. Dispositor is very important. Whenever nodes are placed in different houses, we see Mars placement also.
So you'll check the aspects and the placements.
Yeah, aspects, placements, and conjunctions also.
Right. So therefore, in a way similar to what, well, in some of the better training of the lunar nodes and basic astrology, right, you want to look at the dispositors and see what they're doing to check anything, really.
Yeah.
It's sort of a secondary way of checking.
Yes.
So you have the placement of the point, the north node, for example, maybe in Aries, and then the secondary, and then you check the second thing, which is the dispositor, Mars, because Mars rules Aries.
Yes.
And then you would check that out. What about doing a third dispositor? Let's say, for example, Mars is found in Cancer. Would you then check the Moon as a third way to check the lunar?
No, we don't check the third dispositor. We see only the Mars placement and its conjunction aspect. That's all.
Got it. Excellent. Yeah. So, what is your day like as a Vedic astrologer working in India? How do the clients come to you?
Yeah, I have clients from different walks of life, like politicians, doctors, scientists, and film actors. They believe a lot of astrology. They consult me regularly.
Right. How do they find you?
Since a long time, I have been in astrology field, and I don't advertise anywhere. It is only through word of mouth I have developed my clients.
Right. Yeah, I think many astrologers find that out after a while, that they don't need to advertise.
Yes.
It's one of those jobs where if you're good at it, people find out about you. And
yeah.
There's relatively few good astrologers out there. There's lots of astrologers.
Yeah.
But to be good at it, I think, takes an innate gift. I think to some extent you have to be born with it.
Yes. It all depends upon the planetary position and our past birth karma.
Right. So how many lifetimes do you think you've been an astrologer?
It's a third life, I think.
Your third lifetime as an astrologer.
Yeah.
And were the other two lifetimes recent lifetimes, or were they...
Maybe it was the recent lifetimes, because that is the reason I developed a fascination for the very young age.
Right. I see. So what do you think of Kalasarpa Yoga?
Yeah, it is the planets, if they are hemmed between Rahu and Ketu, they are termed as Kalasarpa Yoga. But it is a very controversial subject, and there is a lot of ifs and buts and cancellation of Kalasarpa Yoga like that.
Right. Now, that's only between Rahu and Ketu, not between Ketu and Rahu.
No, I don't think so.
So, therefore, if you have... They have to be in signs later than Rahu.
Yeah.
All to one side of the lunar nodes.
No, all in between Rahu and Ketu.
Right, to one side.
One side of the zodiac.
Right. Yeah, I'm aware of the controversy. I've studied a little bit, and I realize there's a controversy.
That's great, yeah.
Yeah, because people put very evil things on it, but then at the same time, there's other viewpoints that it's not so.
Yeah, it's not so. Yeah, it is not that much dreaded.
I happen to have Kalasarpa Yoga, I believe. I have Rahu in Cancer, and then all of my planets are in many Pisces and Aquarius. So that would be Kalasarpa Yoga, right? So
yes.
And then when you start at Capricorn, there's no traditional planets all the way back to Cancer. So that's Kalasarpa. Now, the way it was explained to me was that the current lifetime is a strong reaction to the previous lifetime, that there's sort of a springboard effect.
Yes.
And something happened very recently
that
sets the direction of the current lifetime.
Yes.
Which I have noticed is probably true. The lifetime I'm the most in contact with is my immediately prior lifetime.
Okay.
I was a minister, and I've had a very stressed out relationship with God.
Okay.
I was very angry at God.
Okay.
And I was a minister.
Okay. In your past birth?
Very past lifetime.
Very past.
Very past.
Okay.
20th century.
Okay.
Early 20th century.
Okay.
So I've noticed that, and I always ask anybody I think is a good Vedic astrologer what they think of that yoga, because it's very rare yoga. It's hard to have that.
Yeah, it's very rare yoga. It's very powerful in your case, because Rahu is in Cancer. Cancer is supposed to be a very divine sign as per Vedic astrology.
Mm-hmm.
So Rahu's placement there will definitely help you in all aspects.
Mm-hmm. And it's very close to my ascendant also.
Okay.
So, awesome. A couple of other questions. And thanks for answering questions about my chart.
Thank
I don't
you.
Talk to Vedic astrologers very often.
Thank you very much.
When people study their Western chart and then they realize that they have a Vedic chart where all the planets change signs, or many of them, you put the chart back 23 degrees and many of the planets change, change signs. And so they have suddenly they have their chart a new way. There's a new picture of their chart. How do you think of the two charts as working together? What does the tropical chart say, and then what does the Vedic chart say about that?
Yeah, that is the beauty of astrology. Whichever system we follow, finally the outcome will be the same. So, though their predictions may be different as for Western and Vedic, but still I see that both the systems will work.
Right. But So here's an example. I was taught early in my career to think of my Vedic chart as a chart closer to my soul's intention, and my tropical chart more maybe as a personality level.
Yes.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's correct.
It's a deeper picture.
Yeah.
Right. One of my old clients described his tropical chart as a bright tattoo that he got when he was very young.
Okay.
And then over the years, the tattoo faded. And it's not so bright anymore. And now he thinks of the the real chart as being the sidereal chart.
No, we should be always fixed in our thoughts.
You mean you have a metaphor? He's got a metaphor to think of it in his thoughts.
Okay.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Right. That he's got he made a model, an image, a concept for how to think of it.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
That worked for him.
Okay. Fine.
Yes, and he's an artist, so he might think of it as a picture also.
Okay.
So anything else you want to add? Anything you want to say to our... Most of our audience is into Western astrology, and at Planet Waves, I write a lot about the newly discovered planets, like Chiron, and the ones that come after Chiron, and some that are out near Pluto, like Varuna.
Okay.
Have you heard of Varuna?
Yeah, Varuna, it is Pluto. Yama is Pluto.
It's out near. It's out near Pluto.
Yeah, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto. We take as Yama and Varuna and Indra.
What do you mean?
These are less known planets. Actually, they don't have much importance in personal charts, but in mundane activities, they have a role.
Like planet Varuna.
Yeah.
Which is in Cancer right now, in tropical Cancer, and in sidereal Cancer also, right? It's just very newly in Cancer.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I think Varuna is now at, it's at about 22 degrees of Cancer in the
degrees.
Tropical,
yeah.
So it's going to be at the very last degree of Gemini in the sidereal system, right?
Yes.
So when I say Varuna, what do you think of?
No, Varuna generally we see in mundane chart, and it is it gives a clue about the rainfall which we are having to have in that year. Generally, at the time of beginning of the new year, we cast a horoscope for a country or state, and that position of Varuna determines how rainfall will be there during that particular year.
I see. So, so did you check Varuna for the solar return chart of India this year?
No, I have not checked.
Okay, just checking. Yeah. And in terms of being a god, who is Varuna?
Varuna is the god of rains, actually.
The god of rains.
Yeah.
But wasn't he one of the supreme pre-Vedic creator gods also, from the old religion before Hinduism?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so that's I'll have to research that. But our delineation of Varuna, at least among the new planet astrologers, was that he was originally one of the supreme pre-Vedic creator gods, very revered god. He was the big guy.
Yeah.
And then there was a demotion, and he was reduced to being in control, I think, of one quarter of the sky.
Okay.
And had a little cult instead of everyone.
Yeah.
He had a special cult, and then he was reduced down to water and rains. But he also carries the noose right on the cart, right?
Yeah.
And so that's about justice. It's about contracts.
Yeah.
right? There's a cycle of gods that are all about contracts and making sure that if I promise you something,
yes,
that I actually do it.
Okay.
And so Varuna would be the enforcer of contracts.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
At least in my
yes
crazy yeah version of astrology and what I've learned, I only know what I know.
Well, you have very good knowledge in Vedic astrology, it seems.
I'm curious about it, you know. I think it's an important source for people who are doing Western astrology because
yes
it brings in a deeper,
yes,
an older and deeper
yes
tap into, it's like drinking from a deeper well,
yes, yes,
than what we normally get in Western astrology.
Yeah.
But I find people from India very challenging to work with as clients because Western astrology is so much more about choice.
Okay.
And Vedic astrology, at least in their minds, is so much more about what's going to happen, about destiny.
Yes.
And so I have to be a bit of a psychologist and explain to them, well, we do things with choice more in Western astrology. There's an emphasis on the decisions that we make.
Yeah, you are right.
A psychological
approach. Psychology and astrology will have a very strong connection.
So when you're talking to your clients and working strictly in the Vedic system, is there an emphasis on decisions, on the importance of making decisions?
Yes, yes.
Got it.
Yeah.
And so how do decisions interrelate with what might be fated? Is it about making the right decision to have the right fate, or?
Yes, it is always like that. Some fate we cannot change by doing any remedies or like that, but certain things are in our hands. Destiny plays an important role, no doubt. But at the same time, free will is also there in our hands.
Right.
Yeah.
So you can tell, or you at least have an opinion on what is more fated and can't be changed based on the chart?
Yes.
Versus what looks like it's more flexible?
Yeah.
What's an indicator for how to tell that?
Well, if the planets are very strong, we can say that the fate is very strong. At the same time, when planets are in movable signs and debilitated, we see that it is flexible.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So if a planet's in a weaker condition, you have more flexibility with it. You have more ability to dominate over it.
Yes, either in a good way or bad way.
Right. Ah, because you can abuse that power. You can take
yes
it up and use it in a way that's not righteous.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So my supposedly weak Mercury
yeah
in Aquarius, I guess it's in Aquarius. It's
okay
in Pisces tropically, so Aquarius and sidereal.
Yeah.
So, I bought the stone from a Vedic astrology
yeah
gem dealer at
okay
last at the last conference.
Yeah, but it seems to be a semi-precious one. Even I am also wearing an emerald. This is a green. This is the original emerald.
Mm-hmm.
I advise you to go for the original Navaratna. That is one of the purest gem for Mercury.
What is it called?
Emerald.
Emerald.
Yeah.
So not. I'm using the secondary stone.
Yeah, secondary stone. So if you go for a primary one, it will be very powerful.
Yes,
yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So anything else you want to tell our
really
audience
enjoyed,
here in the United States?
Yeah, I really enjoyed the interview.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And how can my readers contact you? Do you have a website or email address?
Email address is there.
Okay.
Note down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you say it?
JoshulaRS@yahoo.com. JoshulaRS@yahoo.com. It's
okay
my email address.
So let's say that again slowly. It's JoshulaR.
No. JoshulaRS@yahoo.com.
Okay, and then I'll make sure I've got that down. And I'll
Joshula is my surname. RS is Ravi Shankar.
Got it.
So that is the thing. That is my email ID.
Awesome. Well, listen,
yeah,
Ravi, thank you for being our first guest at the United Astrology Conference.
Thank you very
and,
much.
And I'll look for you around the conference. And
sure,
if I can get to your presentation on Sunday, I will
sure
drop in.
You're most welcome.
Awesome. So we've been speaking with Ravi Shankar Joshula,
yeah,
an astrologer from Hyderabad in South India.
Yes.
And my name is Eric Francis, reporting in on Thursday morning, May 24th, from the United Astrology Conference in New Orleans, Louisiana. Back with another presentation a little bit later in the day. Thanks for tuning in.